Welcome to the podcast edition of Inside TV and Radio, the audio version of the column, which runs Monday through Friday in the pages of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and at jsonline.com. I'm Tim Caprison. It's been four decades since David McCallum tore up the TV screen as the ultra-cool Ilya Kuryakin on NBC's Man from U.N.C.L.E. Thanks to the magic of DVD, the entire series, all four seasons, is out in one set. I talked to McCallum about that classic spy show and was surprised to hear his thoughts on the ongoing writer's strike. He's not too happy about it because it stopped work on his job currently on CBS's NCIS.
One of the things about the Ilya Kuryakin character that is interesting to me today is that there didn't seem to be, and maybe I'm wrong, a lot of controversy about the fact that a Russian at the height of the Cold War was a major character.
Well, they always said, they used that strange phrase, it's tongue-in-cheek and all that. But, yeah, no, there wasn't. The only people that took exception to it were the Russians. Because I know there was some article in probably Pravda that decried the whole concept of a Russian working in U.N.C.L.E. and how American television was belittling, I don't know what it was, but there was definitely negative response. And I remember when I went through Checkpoint Charlie, I was a little bit nervous in Berlin many years later with all the Vopos with their glasses, you know, their binoculars, studying my face, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, they're going to take me to task for playing a Russian in The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
You'd mentioned the phrase tongue-in-cheek. I always got the sense, and looking at now, I've looked at a few of the DVDs in this amazing collection. It looks like it was a tremendous amount of fun to work on the show.
Oh. You know, I grew up with all the American films at the cinema, to use the British vernacular. And to then have an opportunity to work in a series with just such an escapist plot, and to work with all the actors that I'd watched on television. And Robert was always a pleasure. And Leo G. Carroll, you know, there I am with Topper. I mean,
that's right.
An amazing set of circumstances. And I was very young. I mean, I'd worked in the theater and films and television for 30 years. And, you know, or almost 30 years, whatever it was. And so, to me, to make the transition from Europe and British theater to America and American television, and, you know, just to be in Hollywood and have an open-top car and drive down Sunset Boulevard listening to the 60s music. I mean, I can go on and on and on about all the thrilling and wonderful things that happened in those years.
I'm sure some of you couldn't talk about either.
No, not really. I was one of the very lucky people that it was pre-drugs, and I never really got into any of that. Obviously, I had a problem when my son Jason died, mm-hmm. you know, later on. But mm-hmm. myself, I avoided. I also managed to avoid going to war, which a lot of my, you know, family and friends, we lost Catherine's brother in Vietnam. Mm. But, you know, but basically, I have always been lucky and had a superb life, and U.N.C.L.E. had a great deal to do with it.
Well, this was the show started obviously at the sort of the peak of Beatlemania, and there was sort of a Beatles aspect to your character, from the hair to just the hipness. That had to have made, you know, made you very popular socially at the time.
Yeah, but there wasn't time to be social.
Really?
Doing a television series in those days, it was 9 months, I think, we shot it. We worked from dawn to dusk. At weekends, you did publicity. I flew around America doing publicity. And we weren't workaholics or anything. It was just that the workload is such... You know, I see it happening with Mark Harmon, Michael Weatherly, and Cody DiPaolo in NCIS. Mm-hmm. Those guys worked every day, all day. I sometimes work 8 days out of eight, but sometimes two, if there's a body and to be picked up and an autopsy to be done. Maybe I'll go and comment to somebody about something. But, you know, when you're doing a television series and the whole thing is on your shoulders, you don't have time to socialize.
In those days as well, I'm going to assume that you were not as well compensated, even in the dollars of the day.
I think I got $1,500 a week for the yeah. first.
Which I assume was a great living, but it's not on the scale of today.
No, well, nothing's on the scale of today.
When the show wrapped up finally, Did you, and obviously reruns existed, and the show would survive in reruns, but did you think that 40 years later that there would be an interest in the show and that it would be marketed in the way it is or in any form today?
I was a character actor before I came to this country. And then as a character actor, as we call it, as opposed to a juvenile and a leading man.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed playing all these multifarious characters. So when I did Uncle, my thinking was, come to the United States, I need film. I have to have a reel in order to show casting directors and people. And so this looked like a very good way of getting, it'll go for a year, maybe two, and at the end of that I'll be out and I'll go back to doing movies, character parts. And I never really thought about what it might turn out to be. Then the thing began to take off. We got this incredible reaction to the Uncle card, to the idea of Uncle. There was obviously, with the Vietnam War, an escapism element in The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which I think was very important. It seemed to strike a chord. I used to try and make as many literary comments in the whole thing, so that I got letters from college professors and people who picked up on these things. There was an odd sort of way that the whole thing became part of the American scene. And it was for me an incredible pleasure the whole time.
One of the things that surprised me, I looked at on the disc, there was a documentary on the making of the show. I was actually unaware of the direct Ian Fleming connection and the James Bond connection to the show. I mean, I knew it came out at the era that those movies were coming out, and it was sort of a version of that. But I was surprised that there was that direct a connection at the time.
I didn't know. That's one I'll have to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting.
I think did Norman Felton know Ian Fleming?
That's correct. And Ian Fleming, I think, was involved in the name Napoleon Solo actually comes from a character in one of his books, right. which surprised me.
But I mean, Sam Rolfe wrote it. Mm-hmm. It was Sam who was responsible for the actual work involved with Norman Felton and Peter Fields and the other one, it's like Noel Harrison, but it's not. There's another guy. I've got to look him up.
Sure, I remember Noel Harrison was in Girl from U.N.C.L.E.
Which I had not. They asked me would I do it, and I said no, absolutely not. And they said why not? I said I'm perfectly happy with The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Right, well.
And they told Robert, and they said, "Oh, David will probably do it." And so Robert did some. I know, I never did.
Have you gotten together with Robert Vaughn?
Oh yeah,
lately.
There's somewhere on that in all those discs. He and I sat down and sort of just talked together about it, and they taped it as we talked.
Now, as a serious actor, you came here as a character actor, and you were a serious actor, and you wanted to build a film career. Was there ever any feeling of embarrassment of being on an adventure show like this?
I've never been embarrassed to work, ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been embarrassed at the results a couple of times. And in those days, you could do something that went out, and you thought, well, no, very few people will see this, so I don't have to worry. I mean, I've only had a couple like that. But then, of course, all of a sudden, I'm watching television trying to get to sleep, and there's one of these on late-night television. They drag everything out from the past.
I will tell you, the one of your films that I never pass up a chance to watch is The Great Escape.
The Great Escape, what a glorious film.
It's the best adventure film.
And I can still remember sitting down, again, in an Odeon, Leicester Square, and watching that curtain part and hearing the music, the first time.
Well, that's interesting. The music to me, I mean, I just get a sense of excitement when I hear that theme song.
I have it on my exercise tape on my iPod.
what are you escaping from now?
I've also got How the West Was Won and Gone with the Wind.
But interesting.
It's only because of Max Steiner or whoever.
Interesting. Now, NCIS, you are obviously on an enforced hiatus, unplanned hiatus.
Yes, yes.
What are your thoughts about the strike?
Well, I've always thought of strikes, in quotes, as unproductive, and I've never known a strike yet where people really gained what they lose. And I think what's happening now is, quite apart from the writers, the number of people who have been put out of work in the industry, it's a huge, vast number of people right before Christmas. And then if my logic says that at some point these people will get together and at some point they will resolve this. It could be 3 months or 6 months from now. Why, if it's going to be resolved, couldn't it have been resolved without a strike? Why is it necessary to have such a disruptive and devastating thing for so many people in order to get to... It seems almost childish that that's the means that has to be used. Because I assume these are rational people. Why can't they do it without the strike?
Obviously, you enjoy working.
Oh, yeah.
I would assume you don't really have to work to put food on the table these days.
Oh, yes, because you have no idea the kind of food I've Not to mention the wine. I bought a very nice Sangiovese today. My wife is having her office party here later in the month. So I went out and picked two nice Italian wines. We drink mostly Italian wine. I have to keep working just to pay for
those. Just to pay for those. Is retirement ever an option for you, do you think?
Well, I, as long as I can remember the words, I don't really... You know, you have to sort of temper this slightly, because when you consider that JAG went for 10 years, and if NCIS goes for 10 years, the age I will be at that point, I think it probably will be time to hang up my script covers and put my feet up. And the other thing is that I have a wife. We're a very busy family. All my children, everybody's busy. They're all always working and rushing about and doing things. And my wife does, you know, she runs one of the oldest interior decorating companies in the country. And she is constantly working with her clients. And I just feel that at some point, the two of us should stop and maybe just enjoy each other without it. But I don't see it happening.
Is Christmas important in your family?
Yes. Oh, you come take a look at the living
room. Well, I hope you get at least a little of the snow that we're getting here too.
Oh, I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will. Because also the tree, once we get we've collected ornaments in all 40 years of marriage. Although sometimes in storage, some of the mice have got in, they've eaten a few of the faces away, but they still go on the tree. The tree always looks nice when the snow outside the window.
I'm sure. Well, listen, it's been great to talk to you today, and it's great to look at the DVDs of the show. And I hope it's under a lot of people's trees this year.
Well, it would be wonderful, and I hope they enjoy it. And I hope they don't think, my God, I used to love this show. What did I see in it?
I will say I'm surprised it always surprises me of those 60s shows, the production value, since they're filmed shows, are higher than you expect.
Yeah, well, we did every single Man from U.N.C.L.E. was shot in 6 days, and we never went over. We never went to the seventh day. So the fact that every single one was shot on time in that time frame is a pretty amazing accomplishment.
I guess.
But for people like Fred Koenigkamp, the cinematographer, and George Lehr, and all of the post-production people, I mean, it was an MGM. We had MGM Studios, for goodness sake. I mean, it was a rare and wonderful time.
And I'm glad it's still around because of DVDs.
That was David McCallum. You can get information on the complete Man from U.N.C.L.E. series on DVD at www.timelife.com. And that's it for this 101st podcast edition of Inside TV and Radio. The column runs Monday through Friday in the pages of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and at jsonline.com. You can get updates on my blog at jsonline.com 24/7. Have a great Christmas and a happy new year. I'm Tim Caprissimo.